Sir. Yes, sir.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you on a Sunday morning, but I got something a little sensitive I wanted to check with you before I went ahead. Cattlemen from every state and the feeder boys, their state presidents, are coming into town tomorrow morning. They're assembling today.
Coming in where?
Into Washington.
Yeah.
They're going to work the House tomorrow. And I'm going to invite them over to the department first thing before they even get up there. And report to them what we've done and tell them why I think this is going to be hurting themselves and agriculture in general, without scolding them, but try and do a little reasoning with them. There's some bad actors in this crowd, as you know, and before I went ahead and did that, I just wanted to check and be sure that you thought it was a good judgment.
Who are they, and tell me something about it?
Well, they're the state presidents from every one of the cattlemen organizations, plus the cattle feeder organizations. And they're headed, as you know, some of the men were in your office. Mack Gans went to Europe. McMillan is another, the young fellow that is the executive director of the cattlemen. And then there's the elected chairman of the cattlemen, American National Cattlemen in each state, and of the National Livestock Feeders Association in each state. And it's reported to me that each of these is going to be in, and they're going to be working the hill on the import quota bill. And some of them are kind of wild, and they could put on a show. I don't have much concern about being able to handle it, but it is a bit touchy, and I just wanted to get your judgment on it.
What, how many of them will it be? 30?
Well, we don't know. We know that they've called them all to come in, and allegedly they're all going to be in here. There ought to be in the neighborhood of 100 of them, I would guess.
Who is their national guy that's assembling them? Who's quoting them?
Well, the national man that's calling them is Bill McMillan.
And who is he?
He's the executive director of the American National Cattlemen's Group. I've been working with Jay Taylor on this, and he thinks it's an excellent idea that I should call him in. That it would be a good thing to talk to him and a chance to tell him what we've done and what you've directed, and tell him about the imports and purchases and the rest of it, and then point out what the import picture is this year. And then rather than arguing imports or not imports, just say this is a bad time to legislate because we're negotiating. Let's wait till next year if you want to legislate. And gets a pretty good reception. I'm calling you from Dallas now. I was on at Vernon Center with Graham Purcell last night, and when these people hear this story, why, it makes pretty good sense.
Would there be any advantage to your having your research boy today make a survey of how much meat you had bought in the last 9 months since I've been in, and how much the Defense Department has bought,
yep,
and how much you'd exported, and say, now, this has been the way we've tried to meet this. We haven't felt that the law would do as good as we've done, and we've had Australia here, and we've had New Zealand here, and we've had England here, we've had Germany here, we've had Italy here, and we've talked to all of them about these things quietly. We're negotiating now on our trade, and we're selling about $6 billion more than we're buying. We had the feeling that this was a better way to handle it than just arbitrary legislation that would be interpreted wrongly by these folks, just like we would interpret it if Germans would pass a law that would prohibit us from shipping them any beef. And we are hoping that we'll export a lot more than we'll import if we can get this thing going right now. If you think we're wrong and you think we haven't followed the right course, why, of course you can go on, and if we have to, if required, well, we'll follow your route. But our judgment is, if you in effect cut off our chances to export by this legislation, and if you create that problem, we can't go on buying like we're buying because we have to follow your plan. My guess is that prices will go down instead of up and be worse for you. In a little subtle way, you might let them know that we might not be able to get all this meat shipped overseas for our own troops. And Been a good deal of that. I don't know how many million dollars, but would you guess 20 or 30?
About 30, I would say.
From McNamara?
Mm-hmm.
And how much y'all? 50, 60?
Oh, gosh, we're up in the...
9 months now, the last 9 months.
125 million pounds. We're pushing $100 million already.
100 cents in the last 9 months?
Yeah.
And McNamara, your guess is how much?
Well, McNamara's about, he's got about, well, he will have. His projection is a year-to-come projection. So far, why, his purchase is probably run around 25 million pounds, maybe around 15, 20 million dollars.
Now, that's about all, though, two of you. That's about all we bought it.
Well, between the two of us as of now, we would have bought about 140 million pounds. And would have spent...
Does that include aid in sending to Latin America and
nope.
Israel and everything?
Nope,
what would you say the government had bought? 150 million?
At least. 150 million? I'd say we could say we spent close to $100 million. And if you added that in and these contracts, why, we're pushing towards 175 million pounds that we've purchased already. And I think it's an excellent idea to just hint that... maybe we can't do this if you fellas want to follow this other route.
So we've tried to get some of this into Israel,
mm-hmm.
and we've tried to get some of it into Chile, and we've talked to the president, begged, just pled with Earhart, and he's got all of his ambassadors busy.
Right.
And of course, if the policy of the Congress is to just to say, well, we don't like what you're doing, and we're going to have a new program, well, of course we have to be bound by Congress, but we're not sure all of you know what we're trying, and we're not sure that this approach to it, this congressional approach, is wiser than one we've got, and of course I guess you are running pretty low on money.
That's right.
And you might tell them that maybe they, while they're doing this, they might want to get you another $200-300 million to buy some stuff.
I think that's a very good way to put it.
You might just say, we're running out of money, and we're not going to be able to do much more of this, but we thought maybe we'd get you to help us buy some, get some more money, but if you feel this way about it, well,
mm-hmm.
Now, would it be good to really bone up Rusk and let him go and tell him just how serious this is from a world standpoint? Just come over to your place and tell them?
My instinct on that would be no, that they're in here thinking about their own pocketbook and they're not going to be too receptive to the State Department. You know these fellows better than I do, of course, but...
No, I guess that's right.
I have to be, my guess is this is a kind of... I'm in here looking after my pocketbook now and the State Department's more interested in the rest of the world, and I think that they would tend to react a little otherwise on that one. Now, we can do that. I'd like to think about it, and I'd follow your judgment, of course, but that'd be my quick reaction.
He's awfully eloquent, though, and I believe we're going down the drain anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much chance. Now, have we got to veto this? Have we got to veto this?
I think we do, Mr. President.
Well, it'll override your veto right quick.
Well, this is a danger, but you told some of those fellows you were going to veto it, you remember? And I think...
I don't think I did that. I think I said that what you do is go up there and make no progress, pass this damn thing through, and only result in a veto. I think that's the way we handle it. I don't think I made anybody a commitment. I promise you I will veto it. But I think I referred to the fact that it would have to be vetoed or something like that.
Yeah, that was it. Well, they got on the phone immediately and got around, and they told their people that you had said categorically you would. But that's just—I just want you to know that. So, I don't think. The good bent over veto. As a matter of fact, if you notice these ads in the paper, they didn't get there by accident, telling the story and talking to the consumers. I got those into the Congress, and right now we can't have a nose count on this. But I know even if this hits the floor, it's no lead pipe since it'll pass. Because there's a heck of a lot of people, the same people, the good Democrats in the city areas, want no part of this. Why the hell are they for higher beef prices to charge their consumers? This, of course, the Republicans will try and embarrass this. But it'd be my judgment that they'd never override a veto. Not in the House. They could in the Senate, but not in the House. But I'd want to count noses real careful, like, and this has been such a kind of a loose thing, it's, we haven't been able to get down to where you can actually count noses. The speaker said when he was asked about this on Friday, that he didn't know whether it was over yet from the Senate. When he said it was, he said, well, it's so far down in the pile, I haven't been able to find it, probably won't be able to for quite a while. But these guys will raise hell, but we'll have an equal number of importers and others coming in to raise just as much hell on the other side. So they don't have all the blue chips. We're fighting them, and if we can pull some of their teeth this way, and this is what I propose to do. Some of them are wild men. They could put on a show, and there could be some press thing on it. I'm sure I can handle it, and that's really why I wanted to be sure that you'd think it was a good idea to try and sit down with them.
Yes, I think it would. I think it would if they'd come see you. I think it would.
And it'd be your judgment in connection with the trade and the foreign policy side of it that it'd be a good idea to have Russ come.
Well, I'd take another look at that. I'd think about it today, and we'll talk in the morning.
All right. I'll have him over, and we're going to work then today to try and reach him. I want him over there first. I want him in my office before they get out up on that hill.
That's good.
Because the less they set up there until we get a crack at him, the better.
Tell him you won't talk to him about some of your plans and what you have in the mail.
Right.
And I'd sure get the State Department to tell me what ambassadors were working on it, get
yeah.
reports from the ambassadors.
That's all in the mail.
And I told them to get them from Germany, and get them from England, get them from Italy.
Right.
Okay.
Had a nice party down here last night.
Wonderful, wonderful.
People, this Graham Purcell is the bright boy you said to me one time. You knew he was a good man, but you weren't sure he was a wise man. I think he's a wise man.
Yeah, he's wise, and he's good.
Good.
Bye.
Bye, Mr.